Welcome to Life Church Birmingham. We are glad you have listened today. We know God has a plan and purpose for your life and want to help you be successful in Jesus Christ. We know you will receive a message of hope and encouragement.
It's dark the whole time. So today I have the privilege of preaching for our together service. So I'm glad all of our kids are in here with us today. We're going to do a couple of things like we do in kids' church today, and then we're going to continue to share the word. Today I have a message entitled Powerful Pages. Powerful Pages. We're going to be talking about why the Bible matters. Why the Bible matters. And so as we get started this morning, I've got a couple of things that we do in kids' church. The first thing that we do is we talk about what our power verse is. What our power verse is. So let's put that power verse up on the screen today. Our power verse is from 2 Timothy today. All right, so this is going to be our main scripture. This is the scripture that I want our kids to try to memorize this morning. We're going to ask you later on during the service if you have remembered the power verse, and we've got some prizes. We've got some candy for you today. So here's the power verse, 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. All right, so what we usually do is we have everybody stand and read it together. Are you guys ready? So kids, let's show them how to do it. Everybody, let's stand up on our feet and let us read our power verse together today on the count of three. One, two, three. All scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. All right, you may be seated. So start putting that scripture to your brain. Start remembering it. It's important. And then the other thing we do is we pull out kind of a rhyming theme for the day, and we call it What You Gotta Know. What You Gotta Know. So can you put our What You Gotta Know statement up there today? We also, you will hear this statement throughout the morning to help you stay on track with what we are learning today. So here is the What You Gotta Know. God-breathed scripture shows what's true, corrects our ways, and trains us too. All right? God-breathed scripture shows what's true, corrects our ways, and trains us too. All right, so that's going to be what you got to know today. When you go home and you're telling your friends what you learned in church today, what you got to know is a good tool to share what you learned about today in church. So those are going to be our key things. This sermon today comes out of the book of 2 Timothy. As I was reading through 2 Timothy, it encouraged me how much Paul challenged Timothy to value the word, to value the teachings, to value the things that he was learning from the apostles, to value the things that the followers of Jesus would eventually write down, pass around, and become what we know as the Bible today. So the enemy wants to keep us from knowing what is true. The enemy wants to keep us from doing what is right. The enemy would love to make us not value the things that are valuable, the value of God's word. So here's a couple of things that I want us to ask ourselves this morning about Scripture. Am I being taught by God's word regularly, not just from my pastors, but am I being taught from God's word regularly by reading it and sharing it in community? Think about that question. Here's another question from this scripture. How has God's word rebuked me? How has it corrected me whenever I was doing wrong, when I was thinking wrong of our sin, when we're confronted by God's word? We see this over and over again in the pattern of Scripture. If you read through the entire Bible, you will notice a theme that happens over and over and over and over again. That theme is God places people in relationship with Him. They try to do things their own way and rebel against Him. God has to correct them and bring them back into relationship with Him. So that theme happens over and over and over again in Scripture. And as we read through Scripture, there are going to be times when there are things in our life that we're doing, or maybe things in our life that we're not doing, or things that we're thinking that need to be corrected by God's Word. Is His Word training me to be righteous, to be like Him? Is God's Word training me to be like Him? And the last question is His Word equipping me for His call for my life? So all of us who are following Jesus have been called first to follow Him and second to bring others along in the journey, right? Is your study time in God's Word, is it equipping you to do what God's calling you to do? Is it equipping you to bring other people along with you? Is it equipping you to share the good news, to share the gospel? So, I thought as we're talking about the Scripture this morning that we could sing a little song together. I know Pastor Lisa likes to get us singing songs together when she preaches. And so I had a little song come to mind about the Scripture. And if you grew up in church or you went to children's church for a period of time in your youth, you may have heard the little B-I-B-L-E song. Raise your hand if you know that song, the B-I-B-L-E. Okay, some of our kids know it. Some of our adults know it. All right, so what we need to do is sing that song together this morning. You guys ready? On the count of three, let's sing it. Now, I didn't get the words put up on the screen. I should have done that. I thought that many people would learn it as we sing it. So if you know it, I want you to sing it. If you don't know it, it's pretty easy to pick up pretty quick. So we'll sing it a couple of times just to get it in there, because today this is what we're talking about. You guys ready? On the count of three, one, two, three. The B-I-B-L-E, yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. Okay, let's sing it again. The B-I-B-L-E, yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. Oh, you guys sound good. Y'all sound good. All right, so I know that's like an elementary song, but sometimes we make things harder than they need to be, right? Man, if we realistically will build our life's foundation on the Word of God, being trained in it, being corrected in it, being rebuked by His Word, then our lives will reflect who He is. So the first point this morning is all Scripture is God-breathed. All Scripture is God-breathed. We read it earlier in our power verse, but let's look at it again. 2 Timothy 3:16 says that all Scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Sometimes we forget the importance of God's Word. Sometimes we start looking for things to help us ground our life on the truth of who God is, and we start looking for this book, or we look for this conference, or we look for this teaching, and there's nothing wrong with those things. But we need to remember that it's God's Word that is breathed by God. It's His Scripture that He inspired human authors to write down so that we could be corrected, so that we could be taught, so that we could be trained in righteousness. Jesus reminds us as we look at Matthew 4, and this scripture is not on the screen. We see Jesus, he's gone through this time of fasting, and he's gone through this time of temptation in the wilderness, and the enemy, the accuser, the adversary, he comes to him and he tries to tempt him to step outside of God's plan. And he reminds us that man doesn't live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. And Jesus here was quoting Deuteronomy 8:3. He's quoting from the Old Testament that man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. It is God-breathed. John chapter 1, we can put that up on the screen, reminds us that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning, and through Him all things were made, and without Him nothing was made that has been made. So I want us to talk for a few minutes. A lot of times we talk about God's Word being inspired, God's Word being breathed by God. But unfortunately, many times we are ignorant to where our Scripture comes from. What is the origin story of the Scripture that we hold to be true, to be foundational, to be God's Word? So I wanted to walk you through how we have the Bible that we have today. Because there will possibly be people in your lifetime who will question, why do you believe what you believe about the Bible? Do you even know where your Bible came from? Your Bible was just made up stories by a whole bunch of men, right? So let's talk about the Bible for a few minutes. So the Scripture that we have today is based on oral traditions that were passed down from eyewitnesses in the Old Testament, all the way up to Moses. All of the stories that we find in Genesis, they're people, real-life people, who are experiencing these things firsthand. And they begin to share with their family members. They begin to share with their friends what God was doing among them. They begin to share what had happened in their life. How many of you have ever had something so powerful, so important in your life happen that you had to go and tell somebody about it? Anybody had that happen? Maybe you, in this modern era, you picked up a phone and called a friend to tell them about what had just happened, something that had impacted your life in such a real way. Kids, maybe you had something happen to you and you had to tell your friends about it. You had to come home and tell your parents what happened at school today. These are the same things that we find in the book of Genesis. These people are having profound encounters with God and they're telling their friends. They're so important, they say, you need to remember this. Now, most of these people are illiterate. They don't read. They don't write in this time frame. So how do they share their stories? Verbally, person to person. They share these stories. They repeat them. They sit around the dinner table together sharing stories. They get together at their family reunions and say, hey, remember that time when? Or they talk to Grandpa and say, hey, Grandpa, tell the story about how. You remember many of these Old Testament patriarchs, they lived a little bit longer than we do today. They were able to see many generations. So, great-grandpa, tell me about how it just started raining one day when there was no rain ever before. Tell me that story again. Great-grandpa, tell me about how you and mom were in the garden with God and y'all decided to do something he told you not to do. Yeah, tell me that story again. Tell me about the big old angel with the fire sword that was keeping you from going back in the garden. Tell me that story again, right? And these stories were passed down because they were powerful and they were important. And we get to Moses, and the stories had been shared, and now these people are slaves in Egypt. And God speaks to Moses at a burning bush, and he tells him to go and talk to Pharaoh and get my people out of there. And the plagues come, and then they sit down and they have this meal together with a lamb, and they put the blood on the doorframe and the doorpost. And God tells them, remember this. And I want you to do this year after year together so that nobody forgets. Make sure that your children know about this. Make sure your children experience this. And when they ask, hey, why did we do that? You tell them it's because God was bringing us out of slavery into the promised land. And then God parts the Red Sea and they go. And God brings Moses up to the mountain and he tells him something that changed the course of history. He said, write this down. Write this down. And Moses began to write down the word of God, and then God wrote on the tablets the Ten Commandments. And Moses, he goes through this experience through the wilderness, getting ready to go into the promised land, and he passes his heritage on to Joshua. And they continue to write down the stories. They continue to write down the things that happened until eventually they have this compilation of scrolls that are written down on parchment and papyrus and animal skins. And they're written down on these individual scrolls. And we have these first five books of the Old Testament that are called the Torah. And they're written in the Hebrew language. And the stories continue. The prophets and the judges, they begin to lead Israel. And then the kings come along and mess everything up. Split the kingdom of Israel into two. And then, once again, Israel is led off into captivity. And then we have the end of the writings and the stories from the prophets that are captured together in all these different scrolls from these different prophets and the different leaders of Israel at the time. And then there's about 400 years after the time that the Israelites come back from exile and rebuild the temple during the time where the second temple had been built. And there's this period of time where there's another group of writings that are not included as scripture, but they're historical writings. They're writings that reflected the thinking and the things that are happening during this second temple period, the time where Jesus was born. All of this takes place during the time of the second temple that was built. And some of those books are recorded and are included in some of your Bibles, maybe. Maybe it's called in your Bible the Apocrypha. Maybe in your Bible it's called the Deuterocanon, depending on which translation. Or maybe your Bible doesn't include these teachings. So then we have Jesus born on the scene. And then his disciples begin to write down all of the things that they experienced, all of the things that they had learned. And at this point, these Old Testament scrolls had been translated into another language. They've been translated into Greek, the Greek language. And so many of the apostles, many of the followers of Jesus, they would have studied the scripture in probably Hebrew and maybe Greek as well. And they began to write down the stories of all the things that Jesus did, all the things that they experienced. And at this point, there were people who could write. There were people who could read. There were different languages going on in this same region of the world that they were gathered together in. And they began to send their stories and send their letters to the early church as they gathered together in people's homes. They would share each other's letters, passing them around so that each different group of churches could be blessed by the stories that they would share of who Jesus was and what he meant to them and what he did in their lives. Then we have the Apostle Paul, who has this amazing conversion event where he met Jesus on the road and was blinded. Paul began to write down the things that he experienced, the things that he saw. He began to write down letters to different churches that he would plant. As he would go and share the gospel in different regions, he would start little house churches. He would gather people together and tell them about Jesus and baptize them and see them baptized in the Holy Spirit and power. And he would write letters as he would travel around to these different places. He would write letters and send to them so that they would be encouraged, so that they would be corrected, so that they would be rebuked, so that they would be trained in righteousness. And then eventually they would copy these letters and gather them together and share them around. They would compile them eventually into these book-style codexes in Greek so that the house churches and the believers would have his word together. God's word has been inspired from generation to generation. It's been passed down from generation to generation. And we are blessed today to continue to have access to his word. Now, if you want to nerd out on this stuff, if you want to grab my notes on Tuesday, I'll have some extra notes about the compilation of Scripture and how we have it. I've got some dates in there for you. I don't want to like talk all day on that, but I love kind of like researching and looking at nuances of some of these things. But I want to take a minute and break right here and give our kids a chance to earn some candy. So I want to know, who knows the what you got to know? Somebody raise your hand if you know the what you got to know. Anybody, any of our kids remember the what you got to know? Nobody remembers it yet? Any adults? We got any adults who want some candy that remembered what the what you got to know is? All right, let's put it back up. Let's put it back up. We'll give you a shot a little bit later. All right, here we go. Let's read it together on the count of three. One, two, three. God breathed Scripture, shows what's true, corrects our ways, and trains us to. All right, let's do it one more time to help put it in your mind. Ready? One, two, three. God breathed Scripture, shows what's true, corrects our ways, and trains us to. All right. All Scripture is God breathed. Point number one. Point number two, I will value his word. I will value his word. When Paul wrote to Timothy in this letter that we call 2 Timothy, chapter 1, verses 13 and 14, he encourages him. He said, "What you heard from me, keep as a pattern of sound teaching with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us." In other words, because this is valuable, I want you to guard it. I want you to take it to heart. I want you to keep what's important and keep it in your heart, keep it in your mind. Remember the things that I taught you. Don't take it for granted. So just as we have the opportunity to, to memorize Scripture. We have the opportunity to find Scripture on our phone. We can find Scripture in a hotel. We can find Scripture at pretty much any store that we go to. We can usually find a copy of God's Word available to us today. But that is not the case for everyone around the world, for our brothers and sisters in other places around the world. And so we have some missionaries with the Assemblies of God who their focus is Bible translation, translating the Bible into languages of people who don't have the Bible in their language yet. We have missionaries whose goal is to help get Scripture printed in languages that are already available to make it available in places where it's not easily accessible. And so last month in our kids' church, we highlighted missions and we highlighted the area of Southeast Asia, that region. And so this year, one of our missionary projects is with a group called Fire Bible. And what the Fire Bible is, it is a Bible, but it's also a study tool that is focused on being empowered by the Holy Spirit. And so this year, the Fire Bible Project has focused on the Akha people. It's an ethnic group of people who live in the mountains of Thailand, Myanmar, Laos, Vietnam, and the Yunnan province of Northern Asia. And so there's been a great revival among these people, and they don't have the Bible available to them in their language. As a matter of fact, up until 10 years ago, they didn't even have a written language. And so now they have, the people groups have come together and developed a written system that has been adopted by their community. And now this year, our goal is to raise the funds to start developing a Bible in their written language. So I just wanted to highlight that for us this morning for just a minute, just to recognize that there are still many places around the world who, one, don't have access to the Bible in their language for different reasons, whether it's there's no translation yet, or maybe there's a political system that has made it illegal for them to have the Bible, something like that. And then there's groups of people around the world who have limited access because there's not a lot of investment made in getting the gospel to them. And so I have a couple of maps for us real quick to put up on the screen so that you can see some of these areas that have restricted and a shortage of the gospel. So this map is a map of areas that have restricted access to the gospel, which means that there's some reason that Scripture has been restricted to them. Again, whether it's because the government will not allow them or something like that. So the darker red, the more restrictions that area has. And so you can see that there are a large area of the globe who would not take the Scripture for granted, but they are hungry to have the Scripture to them because many of them, it's illegal for them to have the Scripture. Many of them, there are missionaries who will smuggle Bibles into places like this so that they will have the opportunity to hear and read the Word of God. Let's put that next map up. So this map is the map of places who just have limited access, usually because of funds or lack of printing in their, that they have the Bible translated into their language, they just don't have easy access. And the darker green is the areas that it is harder for them to get the Bible because of shortage. So the darker the area, this is from the International Bible Society. And so you can see that there's still a large portion of the world who just have a hard time just getting the Bible that we a lot of times take for granted, that we have access to on our phone. You probably have several copies laying around your house somewhere. You may have multiple different translations available to you, where these people, though the scripture has been translated into their language, they don't have clear, easy access to the scripture. So I want to encourage us and challenge us today as Christians living in the land that has so much opportunity and so much excess, that we will value God's word. We will realize how valuable it is to read and study and be changed and challenged by His word. So here's the last point this morning. The last point is, it's a little bit longer of a point, but it's important. I will build the foundation of my life on obedience to His word. I will build the foundation of my life on the obedience of His word. So when I was a kid, we used to play a game called Simon Says, right? And you had to do what the person who was Simon, you had to do what he said or she said. Well, today, we have a different version of that. It's called Bop It. Anybody ever played the Bop It game before? So the way Bop It works is Bop It will tell you what you're supposed to do with one of these little things, and you have to do it. So whether it's Bop It or Spin It or Twist It or whatever, you have to do what it says to be able to advance in the game. All right? So this morning, I want to see if we've got a boy and a girl. Come on up. Yeah, come on up. All right, do we got any girls who want to try it out, see if you're any good at the Bop It game? All right, you're first. Which one you want to pick? All right. Gabby, come on. All right, come on up. So we're going to see who is going to be our Bop It champion this morning. All right, so what it'll do is it's going to tell you what to do. So that's the pull, that's the twist, that's the bop, all right? Oh, this one has like a hammer thing too. All right, this one has this thing, and then a thing to yell as well. All right, you ready? All right, Bop It to start. So Bop It is you actually bop it with your hand. There you go. You ready? All right. All right, it's going to tell you what to do. Roll it. Oh, did you get it? Oh, yeah. All right, let's try it again. It's harder than it looks. Like a hammer. Use it like a hammer. So like a hammer. Like that. All right, ready? Listen. Oh, too slow. How many did you get? Three. All right, three, two. You got one more chance. All right, try his. There we go. We'll give you both the same tool. Does anybody want to see me do it? I'm not good at it. Woo! I only got two. All right, so you got three. How many did you get? Oh, okay, let's see. I like a phone. All right, you got three. You got three. So let's give them a tie, and you guys get you some candy. Give them a. Well, those may be talking to me for a few minutes, but. So So I will build my life on the obedience to His Word. Just like trying to obey the Bop-It, which is not as easy as it looks. We have God's Word given to us through God-breathed Scripture. We have access to that here today. We have access to that on our phones. Most places that we go that we have internet access, we have access to the Scripture. But many times, we don't build our life on that foundation. I was reading a few articles of some surveys that were done recently. And so in Glendale, Arizona, there was a study recently done at the Cultural Research Center at Arizona Christian University. It reported that 74% of adults trust feelings over facts to discern moral truth. 74% of adults that were surveyed trusted their feelings, how something felt to them, over what is true, what is fact, what is moral truth. It's easy to see today in the world around us that people's level of spiritual maturity has changed. It has gone closer to the toilet. We see that a research study from Barna, which is one of the nation's most notable research groups for all things concerned with morality and spirituality, it says that only 4% of adults have a biblical worldview for the basis of their decision making. Only 4% of adults have a biblical worldview as the basis for making decisions. It shows us that the world around us does not value Scripture. And it definitely does not make it the foundation of their life. So we know that Scripture is God-breathed. And we know that it's valuable and we must build our life on it. So I want to take a moment and pause real quick and ask, does anybody remember the What You Gotta Know? If you know it, run up here. All right, come on up. You guys both know it? You confident? Okay, on the count of three, I want you guys to say it together. You ready? One, two, three. Oh, yeah. Good job. Grab you some candy. God-breathed Scripture shows what's true, corrects our ways, and trains us too. That's what you got to know today. So, there's a group of teachings in the book that Matthew records, Matthew chapter 5 through chapter 7. It's probably one of the most influential groups or passages of Scripture throughout history. It is known to most Christian circles as the Sermon on the Mount. It's the group of teachings where Jesus is recorded, having a group of people gathered together, and He's standing and teaching on a mountainside. And at the end of this group of teachings, He says this in chapter 7, verse 24. It says, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock." The rock is hearing Jesus' words and doing them. And specifically, it's talking about this chunk of Scripture that we see in Matthew chapter 5, verses 7. That is the context for this Scripture. Now, I've got another song. And you probably have heard this song, and it connects to this scripture. And it's the song about the wise man who built his house upon the rock. Raise your hand if you know the song about the wise man who built his house upon the rock. All right, we've got some people who know it. All right, so here's how I'm going to say the words for you in case you have not heard this song before, in case you've never had the privilege of hearing this song. It says, the wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man built his house upon the rock. And what happened? The rains came tumbling down. And then we talk about the rains, right? And the rains came down, and the floods came up. And the rains came down, and the floods came up. And the rains, huh? I know, I'm just telling them the words first, then we'll sing it. The rains came down, the floods came up, but the house on the rock stood firm. So we'll just stop there for this time. All right, so we're going to sing. If you know it, sing it with us. If you don't know it, just hum the tune with us. All right, you guys ready? On the count of three. One, two, three. The wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man built his house upon the rock. And the rains came tumbling down. Let's sing that part again. Ready? And the wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man built his house upon the rock. And the rains came tumbling down. And then the rains came down, the flood. The rains came down and the floods came up. The rains came down and the floods came up. The rains came down and the floods came up. But the house on the rock stood firm. Oh yeah, that's good. That's good singing there. Again, it reminds us that we should build the foundation of our life on the Word of God. I'm going to ask the worship team to go ahead and make their way. There's an entire poem or song, however you want to say it, in the book of Psalms. Psalm 119 is a song that reminds us the power and the importance of setting our life on God's Word. The psalmist writes down many things to remind us the value and importance. I want to encourage you to maybe spend some time this week reading Psalm 119. Reading Psalm 119 to be encouraged this week to spend time in His Word and live your life according to His Word. So young people, there's a specific part in this scripture that's written specifically to the young person. 119 verse 9, it says this, how can a young person stay on the path of purity? The answer, by living according to your word. And then he says, I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. And I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. And then we jump down to 105 and 106, and it reminds us that your word, God, is a lamp for my feet and a light to my path. I've taken an oath and confirmed it that I will follow your righteous laws. It's just a good psalm to remind us how important it is to live our life based on God's word, based on His scripture. Followers of Jesus have been devoting themselves to the Word of God for centuries. It's what followers of Jesus do. They devote themselves to studying God's Word and to prayer and to fellowship. Let's look at that scripture together, Acts chapter 2, verse 42. And this is my when in doubt scripture, right? When in doubt of what we should do as followers of Jesus, just look back at Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 42. It reminds us what the apostles did, what these followers of Jesus, the very first followers of Jesus, this is what they did. This is how they continued to follow Him in the face of persecution. This is how they continue to follow Him in their friends being martyred. This is how they continue to follow Him when they were poor and they didn't know where their food was going to come from or whether they were going to have shelter or not. This is what they did to continue to follow Him. This is what how they followed Him when it was illegal to be a Christ follower. It was illegal to share the gospel. This is what they did. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, which today we have compiled into the canon of Scripture that we call the Holy Bible. They devoted themselves to this teaching. So it wasn't just something that they read together on Sunday morning. It was something that they devoted their lives to. Maybe you're here today and you haven't spent a lot of time reading the Scripture. You haven't spent a lot of time being acquainted with the Word of God. But this morning I want to give us a quick overarching main theme teaching of Scripture. And this is the first response that I want us to have today based on this overarching teaching. And I have four icons that help us to remember this. And kids, these are four easy icons to help you to remember how to share the gospel with somebody, how to share the main focus of what Scripture looks like. You have that slide of the four. It's simply this: a heart, division symbol, a cross, and a question mark. It's the overarching teaching of Scripture. Number one, the heart reminds us that God loves us. He created us to have relationship with us. He created us to be part of His family. He created us to rule and reign with Him, to be fruitful and multiply because He loves us. We see that overarching all throughout Scripture, how much God loves us, how great the Father's love is for us. And then we come to the next symbol. Comes the problem of the equation, the division symbol. See, God created us and He loves us, but He also gave us the ability to make our choices to love Him, to obey Him, or to rebel against Him in sin. And because many times over and over and over throughout the course of all of history, humanity has chosen to rebel against God's purpose and plan, design, decrees, laws, and just good sense. It divides us or separates us from God. As we see in the garden where Adam and Eve were removed from the garden. And then comes the good news. Because God loves us so much, He sent His Son Jesus to die on the cross and call us to repent from our sins, to call us to turn away from our unrighteousness, to turn away from the things that would separate us from God, to turn away from the rebellion against God, to turn away from living a life that was contrary to His Word, His purpose, His plan for us. And He died on the cross to take our guilt, to take our shame, to take our sin, to take our rebellion upon Him so that we could live again in right relationship with God, so that we could live in a community of people who have been adopted into His family. Then the question mark reminds us that we all have the choice. We all have the choice to make whether or not we're going to accept Jesus' call to turn, to repent, and to come to Him, and to come and follow Jesus. Will you answer that question with, yes, I will follow Jesus? Or will you answer that question with, no, I will continue in my rebellion, doing life my own way? I just want to ask you to close your eyes and bow your heads this morning. I know some of you in the room, but I don't know all of you. I want to ask you today, have you made the decision to follow Jesus? Have you made the decision to turn away from rebellion, to repent from sin, to follow Jesus? And this is not like a call out to anybody specific, because the truth is that all of us have sinned. All of us have come short of the purpose and plan that God has for us. All of us come short. But God demonstrates His love for us, and that even though and even while we were still sinners, that Christ died for us, calling us to follow Him, calling us to repentance. So today, how do you answer that call? Have you made a decision to follow Jesus and turn from rebellion, to turn from sin, to turn from wrong living? Or maybe today you need to make that choice. If that's you, today you say, Pastor John, today I need to build my life on the foundation of following God's Word. I need to build my life on the foundation of following God's Word. And I need to turn away from my sin, my unrighteousness, my rebellion against God, and turn to Him. If that's you today, would you raise your hand? You say, today I want to make that decision to follow Jesus, to turn from my sin, to turn from my unrighteousness, and turn to Him and accept His forgiveness. If that's you, would you just raise your hand? I want to pray for you this morning. I want to pray with you. Yeah, let's take a moment this morning. Let's pray and ask God to help us to turn from our rebellion and to follow Him. I want to pray out loud and pray over us, but I want you to pray in your own way. In your heart, in your mind, maybe you want to whisper a prayer out loud. You want to just ask God to help you to continue to follow Him. Or if you're turning your life over to Jesus, to help you to repent and to turn away from wrong living and rebellion and to walk back to Jesus. Let's pray. God, we thank You today that You love us so much. You created us to walk with You. You created us to have a relationship with You. You created us to know You. But God, we confess today that we are sinners, that we have all sinned and we've all come short of the purpose and plan and the glory that You have for our lives. We're thankful today that You sent Your Son Jesus to die on a cross for us so that our sins could be forgiven. We accept Your forgiveness. And we ask You today to help us to walk in that forgiveness, to help us to walk in Your ways, to turn away from our rebellion and to continue to follow You every day. In Jesus' name, amen. So this morning, the sermon is practical. Let us remember that the Scripture is God-breathed. The writers wrote down what was inspired to them by the Holy Spirit, and that His Word is valuable. Let us not take it for granted, but recognize that we have brothers and sisters around the world who wish that they could have, they pray for the access to Scripture that we have, whether it be in their own language or just a copy, the physical copy that they could have and read together at their family time. I hear stories about other followers of Jesus who pray, who are asking those who have the means to help get them a Bible so that they can sit together at family mealtime and share Scripture together, so that they can share the Scripture with their children, so that they can raise up a godly heritage. Let us not take that for granted. But today, our challenge is to build our life on the foundation of following God's Word, obeying His Word, doing what His Word says. And if you don't know where to start today, if you say, Pastor John, where should I start reading? Well, Matthew chapter 5 through 7 is a good start. The Sermon on the Mount, it's this beautiful group of teachings that Jesus is teaching us how to obey and how to be like Him, how to treat one another, and continue from there. The worship team's going to sing this morning. And I want to ask you if you have any prayer requests, any things that we can be praying with you about. I want to ask our prayer team to go ahead and to come forward.
We want to thank you for listening to the message today. We would love for you to stop by and see us. Our services start at 10 a.m. on Sundays and 7 p.m. on Wednesday nights, with various small groups throughout the week. Here at Life Church, we hope you have a great week.